Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. I am so glad that you're with us today. Joining me in the studio there in California, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. So we've got the doctors in. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve. Good
Hello.
To see you.
Hello. Hi, Steve.
Well, hi, and thank you for being here because it's awfully lonely when you're not.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. Christmas is coming fast, and
get ready, everybody. Yeah.
And we have, they just told me to remind you, if you were going to order something from New Life to arrive by Christmas, well, you need to order it by this Thursday, so in a couple of days. And you know, we've got these beautiful devotionals, beautiful Bibles, every man's Bible. If your man's not reading the Bible, we've got Kirby McCook for your kids, Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. It supports the ministry, and it really, we've got some wonderful, beautiful things for gifts, so just want to remind you about that. If you want to join us for this program, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000, and tomorrow I'll be in California with Dr. Amen. We'll be doing the program. He's a Christian psychiatrist. Many of you have seen him on PBS, and a brain specialist. Really good, and a lot of people don't know that he's a Christian who went to Oral Roberts University, ORU, because a lot of times you can't get on public television if you're a Christian. You have to, but he, you know, his brilliance overrides any kind of feeling about Christians that folks might have. Anyway, we'll have him on and excited about that. But if you want to join us today, it's 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000, that is our phone number. And let me remind you of this, too, while we're just chatting, that we have an amazing match of $168,000, I think it is. And if you call and you can support us, we're going to help you. We're going to match that, and your money will be matched. So it's kind of like giving double there. Well, I was going to go to a call, but I can't seem to click on one. I was going to go early, but I don't have to do that today. Let's see. What else can we talk about here? Here is the thing about supporting New Life. If you support us, you are supporting somebody getting their act together or their family coming back together. And I believe this year, there are a lot of families out there that are experiencing hope and healing because somebody supported them. Now we're going to go to the phones and talk to Serenity from Denver, Colorado. She called us on 1-800-229-3000. How you doing, Serenity?
Love the name, Serenity.
Oh, I'm hanging in there. It's Christmas time. Merry Christmas, and thank you for taking my call. I come from Princess for my father. My mother had schizophrenia. And so I'm kind of being re-triggered and re-traumatized because of my husband's illness. I researched way back, because I was a paralegal, in the 1800s, a psychiatrist found schizoaffective disorder, which he's diagnosed, which he's diagnosed having, comes from a sexual addiction and genetic from the parents and the brother, and they both had sexual problems. His dad whatever he's doing.
Okay, well, hold on. We're going to go to a break, and I thought we had a little more time than we do, but you hang in there, and we want to get right to your issue. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. I'll just mention this. My wife's doing a part of the Brave Full Summit. You go to bravefulsummit.com, and you can hear her talk about working with women with sexual integrity problems. She facilitates the group. She talks about it there, Brave Full Summit.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Dave has written many books with me, but by himself, and Jan, Smart Love, Jill, The Secrets Women Keep Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Boy, there's a great book to get you ready for Christmas. And we've got Serenity on the phone. And Serenity, we understand a lot of stuff in your past. We had a little difficult time understanding you. But what's the question for us today? What could we help you with on this very day?
Well, you know, before we got married, he was in porn. But as soon as we got married, because I found out right away, I locked the computer, and so what he's having is...
Okay, Serenity, your phone doesn't work very well, and so we're having a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me better
now? So I want you to just ask us a question, because I think we know a lot of different trails in the background of things, but where are you now? What's the question today? Just ask that and see if we can give you some help.
Okay, well, if this is... schizoaffective disorder is genetic. It can cause sexual misintegrity. So he prays. He's a born-again Christian, and so my third book. And we pray every morning about the issue. So and read the Bible about the scriptures for it.
Okay. So the question is what?
A doctor that can give him the new drug for this schizoaffective disorder.
Okay.
It's bipolar and schizophrenia.
Right.
Anyway,
okay. now,
something new called Invega.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, Serenity, so we wouldn't be able to, you know, track down that doctor for you or that medication. Is there a question you have for us, though, that we could answer?
Yeah, what he needs some tools about the flashbacks of naked women from before he did porn, before we got married, and masturbation.
All right, so here's the thing. When a guy decides to stop doing something that he's been doing a very long time, no matter what kind of mental state he's in, there can be flashbacks. There are many images that are there. How do you get rid of that? Well, one way is that you saturate your mind with the Bible. You guys are reading the Bible. You listen to it in the car. But he's got to make it a commitment that when this comes up, that he's going to instantly think of another image. Instantly. You have to have that image in mind. Maybe it's a sunset. Maybe it's a house, little cabin in the woods. But the image comes up, and then you switch to the other image. And then after that's over, you ask yourself, what was going on when I got triggered? And you try to avoid that situation or that state of mind going forward. But let's turn it over to Jill and Dave and see what they have to say.
No,
guys, what do you think?
I think that's an excellent exercise, Steve. You know, so it's like the negative trigger immediately then tells, you know, your brain the next thing to do is look for the positive, you know, reinforcement substitute. So so that's an excellent thing to do. So Serenity, let me just define for people schizoaffective disorder. You did say it's bipolar and schizophrenia. And so it's where people have different periods of time where they're either in the active psychotic phase or the absence of some of the psychotic features, and they're in a full-blown manic or depressive phase. So you're on the right track in that you must find a psychiatrist and you must get him on medication. because if his mental illness is, you know, flaring up, it's going to be hard for him to do the things he needs to do for the sexual addiction, because in the manic bipolar phase, that's where you really see sexual addiction flourish, because it's all about anything that brings pleasure. So so that would be important to get him on the proper medication, have him followed by a psychiatrist, and then get him involved in a sexual addicts group, don't you think, Dave?
Definitely.
Where he can have these ideas reinforced, where he can have a sponsor, because you cannot be his only accountability, right? He needs some men around him that will help him.
There's a childlikeness.
He really does.
There's a childlikeness to schizoaffective disorder in terms of commitment, and so making the commitment, it'll need to be reinforced regularly, because it's like asking a 10-year-old to make a commitment and they forget a couple days later and have to start all over again. And
but
so
also,
be patient with that.
Yeah, but also that childlikeness can kind of feed into even an unhealthy desire to rescue and mother rather than, and so then now you've got a man who's feeling like, well, I'm a child, and so then there's this force underneath trying to prove I am a man, and that leads to greater temptation. So it'll be important for you to really stay on top of that so that you're not overly mothering him to where he's having a hard time functioning as a man, feels more like a child. It's an easy pattern to get into. All right,
getting,
so
and
we're
getting
gonna,
other and getting other men involved in the process is important.
We'll send you a Worthy of Her Trust for him, and you guys can read it together. It'll show you some great things to do there, and I'm really glad that you called. It's a great book. Jason Martinkus and I put that together. It's Worthy of Her Trust, and if you have been hurt by a man with a sexual integrity problem, this really could be a great book for you, and you can get it and many others right there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Okay, let's go to, how about we talk with Katie from Los Angeles, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Katie, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay. I sort of have a loaded question.
A loaded question. All right, we're ready.
I've been in celibate recovery for a few months now, and I'm codependent, I learned. So my mother, I was trying to set boundaries with her and was trying to figure out the right way to talk to her about some of the things that she does that just trigger me so bad to feel horrible about myself. But I feel like I'm, it's unfair for me to ask that of her because I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, like in my childhood especially. But it just hurts, like the things that she says to me, and I see her a lot. But the main thing that I'm bothered by right now is that my mom throws a party every year, but she hadn't thrown it for like the past 3 or 4 years. But this year she's throwing it. It's like the day before my birthday, which is actually Friday. This Friday, it's coming up.
Well, happy birthday.
And it's my whole family goes. And I have a hard time with my family from my dad's side because they're really abusive. And sometimes, like, an argument will start out that gets really ugly and they'll throw accusations at me that I didn't do. And just, it's been that way since I was a kid. So I just don't want to go through it. And my mom was sick for, like, the last 5 years with cancer. So I guess, like, the whole thing is I feel that codependent guilt of, like, that if I don't go, my mom is really hurt by me, and she makes it clear that she is. But I just really don't want to go, like, with all of everything that's within me. So I just don't know how to express that to her without hurting her or making her feel like I don't care about her.
Well, what you're just saying to us was really great, actually.
Yeah.
Does your mom understand how you feel about these family members? Does she
does, but she just thinks, like, you need to forgive them. Because they've treated her really bad my whole life, too.
Okay.
She just goes with it and goes with it.
Okay. So is there any protection when you are with them? Does anybody step in and say, hey, that's, you know, over the line?
No, my dad has, at the last, like 3 years ago, one of the parties that they had, my aunt called me at my mom's house and was yelling at me over the phone about supposedly stealing an ornament, and this thing blew up that wasn't true, and I was embarrassed because it takes everything I have to go to these things with my mom, and I'm to be told that. So that's my dad's sister, and he called her and told her, like, what's wrong with you and all this stuff. But they didn't talk for, like, a year after that. And
okay.
Now my mom is doing this again. So.
Okay, let me ask you this. How do you think your mom would react if you just said this? Hi, Mom. I know you've got the party planned. And you're making this call 2 or 3 days before. Mom, I am going through a really rough time right now. I'm exhausted. I'm drained. And I just can't be around people right now. And I'm not going to be able to make it this year. I just don't have it in me. And I just need to kind of take it easy that day and avoid a lot of stress and activity and so. What do you think she might say if you just made it about this year and made it about you, not the people that are going to be there?
I guess she sort of makes me out to be like a pity party, like that.
Okay.
I'm dramatic or something.
So she mocks you.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's just play that out. So she says, oh, you're always feeling sorry for yourself, and you're just always acting pitiful. And you say, I know, Mom, you feel that way, and that's really sad that that's your reaction. But, and then you get right back to the reason you call, but this year I'm just not going to be able to make it.
Oh, that's what I feel like I'm going to have to do. But
yeah, the other option is if you end up going, the minute somebody says something that's hurtful, you say, that's very hurtful, and I need to leave. And then you just quietly leave.
Yeah.
Don't make a big scene. Just leave. Yeah. And you've been there, you tried it, but it didn't work, so I'm out of here.
And I like that option, too, but...
Even something you could tell your mom, you know, Mom, I'm going to come for you because I love you and I care about you and I know it's important to you. But if it's too hard for me, I am going to leave. So I'm letting you know that ahead of time.
And that's an option for if you can't do the first option.
Right.
That's a second option.
And what about you did say your dad came to your aid at one point. Can you talk to your dad about it, too? Can you ask for his protection amongst his family members?
Well, the thing is my dad deals with that from his parents and his whole family, too. It's a really dysfunctional scene.
Okay.
My dad's an alcoholic, so he's always...
That's how he deals with it.
Sort of like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just is unavailable, but he knows, like, he'll understand what I'm going through.
Right,
but my mom won't validate any of it.
Okay, so then you're not going to expect her to validate. If she's already proven that she doesn't validate, then you don't look to her for that because that's a setup for hurt for you. So, you know, I think some kind of compromise, you know, that we're talking about, either you don't go at all or, you know, maybe you just plan on going for an hour and tell your mom that's all the time you have or something.
I love Dave's idea. I love your idea. Maybe the pre-phone call says, Mom, I was thinking about not going, but I just want you to know I am going to come this year, but I want you to know if something happens and somebody is unkind, I'm not going to stay, and I want to be sure you know it's not because I don't love you or care about you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to let somebody do that this year. I think that's a good thing to say.
Yeah, and then you're not acting like you're having a pity party, right? You're just clear on your boundary. And even if she argues with that, I understand, Mom, but that's my plan.
Yeah, and Katie? After the holidays are over, you need to find a new family because God promises to place the lonely in families. And I'd take them up
Katie,
on that.
Yeah. what you described, I wouldn't want to go.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't either.
And if you invited me, I would go just to see if it was real. So I just...
Yeah. We all want to kind of see Katie.
Yeah. But you shouldn't feel badly. Don't feel badly when you're...
So take us with you.
Shame you into. Yeah.
Take us with you. We're in your back pocket at this party, right?
Sure.
And we give you permission to leave.
All right. Well, there are many other people that needed that advice that are listening. It's just too toxic there. Maybe you don't go. Maybe you leave.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you've joined us today for New Life Live. And we're always here, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. People there, they want to help you. Call or go online. And it's just a great time of year to decide, I'm going to get something going here so that in the new year, I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to be doing some things in a very, very different way. All right, let's go to Ann, Columbia, South Carolina. How you doing, Ann? Welcome to New Life. We're glad that you called. What's going on?
Thank you. Just recently, my husband and I found out that our 18-year-old daughter is in a relationship with a 53-year-old man that she has kept hidden from us. And it follows a pattern. She had been molested as a young child, and this pattern of controlling a relationship and hiding it, and it's following a pattern that we thought she had gotten through with counselors, and we thought she was in a good place. And this all came out. We've actually met the guy and did not realize that that was going on. He looks much younger, and she explained that he thought she was older and she thought he was younger. And when you look at him, yeah, he looks 35. If he was her age, we would approve of him. I mean, that's the hard part. He's Christian. He's very much thinking like us. He and my husband sat for 4 hours visiting, and my husband finally felt like he had a friend that he could relate to. And that's when he told our daughter, you have to tell your parents what is going on. We cannot keep this up anymore.
Oh, boy.
And that's where I am today.
Okay, I'm really sorry.
I can't get into the counselor till next week, and I am just... My husband has discussed throwing her out, but she lives, she drives our car, we pay her tuition.
Okay.
So
here's the reality. Here's the reality.
Yeah.
That difference is so great.
35 years, yeah.
That you could almost guarantee that she is going to grow up. She's going to get older, and she's going to absolutely hate him for stealing all of the opportunities and things that he stole from her. They are at totally different life stages. And she is missing. When she wakes up, then she realizes, look what he did. He was supposed to be attracted to me and then walk away once he discovered how, she's not mature enough. She didn't even have brain capacity to walk away. He's the one that needs to do it. And if I were you, if I was your husband, I would be begging him to do what would be the most difficult thing he's ever done, probably, and that is to walk away. It's understandable that he's attracted to her, but it's not going to go well. It's just not. It's too much.
He's willing to
She's
do
too
that,
young.
But our daughter is so destructive. She used to cut. She was suicidal. And that's the other part. We're like, if he pulls away right away, She has no friends right now. She has nothing. It's a long story,
well,
but
how
she
could
has
you?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Right. So if she if
so
if
that's,
she
that's
does that,
fear.
If well, you have her hospitalized if uh-huh. she becomes suicidal, and you get her help.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys have talked with him, and he's willing to walk away.
He's willing to do whatever my husband says to do.
Okay.
And he has apologized. He said it was more like a coach.
Right.
It's a long story, but
okay.
anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
but that's
really
good if he's willing
he's
to walk away.
To
yeah.
And he
yeah.
needs to stop all, you know, physical contact with her.
Right. Right.
He's the one that you work with
yes.
rather than your daughter.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he's got he's got maturity on his side.
Yeah, and it's really surprising, and I'm really glad that there's that willingness there. That gives you so much potential, but you can't be held hostage by the threat of suicide. I mean, mm-hmm. at some point
yeah.
here, we've got to face the reality, and you know, whatever it takes. You just be willing to get that kind of help for her.
She, during this whole time, she, you know, are just talking with her and screaming at each other. She pulls out a vaping thing and vapes,
oh,
which
yeah.
she has never, ever done anything like that. Never. She's
yeah,
completely
right.
against it. She does it right in front of my face.
Well, like, if she's pulling
yeah.
it out,
like
then she has
teenager.
Done it. Yeah, if she's
yeah.
pulling
well,
it
no,
out.
I mean, prior to,
yeah, okay.
prior to all this.
So I think he is the key in terms of talking with her and talking about her mental mm-hmm. health, right? Because if he
yeah.
cares about her at all, he does not want to screw up her life, nor does he want her to
right.
have a, you know, a tantrum over all of this, right? Relationships come
yeah.
and go in life
yeah.
when they're not the best fit. Relationships
yeah.
don't always last forever. And that's part of what he has to talk with her about, that he's not comfortable with her being so young,
mm-hmm.
that he, it makes
yeah.
him feel like
yeah.
a pedophile, seriously,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He needs to be the one to
that's
say
a
these
good point.
Things and
yeah.
that he's not going to
yeah.
be sexual with her anymore. So for him setting boundaries instead of it coming from you.
Yeah. You're not breaking them up. He is.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and you know, you got to be at the same stage in life here. And boy, that's a tough one. That's why we're here. We want to give, well, the mom, I think she felt really good about the advice you were given there, Jill, and this advice of it, this guy needs to walk away, and
he needs
to be
the
reason
the boundaries.
It's going to end.
It, yeah.
It's so very, very important. If you can help us do this, you know, we want to stay on the air doing this. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. You can listen to us a lot of ways, and the easiest is with our app. You just go to the app store, and there's our tree with the brain stuck right in the middle. Let's go to Nick. He's calling from Huntsville, Alabama, Sirius XM. Nick.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, Nick. Yep. Sure can. How can we help? And you need
okay.
to, we got a little echo there
yeah,
in the background.
With the radio.
So if we're on
speakerphone
or radio or whatever, change that, okay?
Okay. How about, can you hear me now? Is that better?
That's better.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so how can we help?
Yeah, I want to know how to deal with, I'm married, me and my wife are having major problems. I filed for divorce.
Why? Why did you file for divorce?
She has a, she has anger problems. She cannot control her anger. And it's been many instances where she has, like, attacked me. And, but, you know, every time she gets angry at me, she keeps our son away, tries to keep my son away from me. And I just can't take it anymore. I mean, she, the last straw is she threw something at me and missed me and hit my son. Hmm. And, you know, really didn't even apologize for it. And I said, you know, you did that. And she said, well, it was an accident, you know, and it's,
how old is,
she's a different person. And it's,
how old is your son?
He's five. He just turned five.
Oh, gosh.
And you're telling me that you're going to divorce her and leave him to be raised by her?
No, actually, so she, when I filed for divorce, she left. I filed for custody. She left.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just recently won, at least temporarily, the
custody.
Main custody. So mm-hmm. she has them every other weekend. You know.
Okay.
But no, I do not because I don't want to leave her.
Okay.
Leave him with her.
All right. So what kind of help have you guys tried to get for her? I have another question after that.
A lot of counselors. We've been to counselors. We moved quite a bit for my job. We've gone. I've sought out counselors, and I'm not perfect, but it's just that she never takes blame for anything. Like everything.
Well, what is
she?
What
hits me if she breaks some of my things?
What is the source of all this anger? Mm-hmm. Do you think?
I'm not really sure. You know, she doesn't talk. She doesn't communicate well. We don't talk. I ask her, you know, what I try to talk to her. And it's just like, I mean, she admits that she has an anger problem. But, you know, and I think she may have some kind of mental disability or something. I don't know. But I know that some of the things that she's done, it's like, the anger consumes her. Like I said, mm-hmm. she's busted my windshield. She's done, I mean, just.
Wow.
And it's like she's always the victim, so she can't see that she's victimizing me or even our son.
Okay, so.
So have you taken her to a psychiatrist? Or has she gone to a psychiatrist?
I tried once, but she doesn't want to go to a psychiatrist because she thinks that I'm trying to. She was saying that I was trying to make her seem crazy so I could, you know, get custody or whatever. But
well,
so we went to some counselors, and that's all we could do.
Okay, so I'm a little concerned because you want you and your son to be safe. Mm-hmm. That's first thing,
right?
But you don't really have grounds for divorce. You have grounds for separation, but it seems like she's kind of accepted that. And the disturbing thing for me is when she has your son, I don't think she's safe the way you describe her.
I don't think so, but I think she, I don't know, I don't know another way to go about doing it. I mean, it's in a lot of ways, the situation is, frankly, I think, not in the favor of the father. Because,
right.
Like,
sure.
When I've called the police on her, and, like, you know, I didn't realize that I was even being abused until the last time the police came, and they gave me a domestic violence package. And when it talks about the things that people do, she was doing all of them. You know, she would destroy my things and all of that. And
mm-hmm.
so the system
correct.
Doesn't seem to be, it doesn't, I can't, I'm talking to the lawyer, I'm talking to the police, and nobody really seems to really care.
Okay, so
really,
what's the question for us?
Thing to do.
What can we help you?
Is there a way that I can, how can I talk, is there a way I can try to, like, get her to see that she's hurting our son by trying to keep him away from me and by trying to use him as a tool. Is there a way I can get her to at least, like, you know, any recommendations?
Well, look, you're the healthy one here, or the mm-hmm. healthier one. And if she's turning your son against you and she's very unpredictable, it seems to me what could get her attention is she shouldn't have joint custody. You should have custody, and that she should have
visitation.
Visitation.
Like monitored visitation.
Supervised visitation mm-hmm. and monitoring, and maybe something like that would wake her up. But I don't like the way this is, where you know, you're protecting her from the reality of her condition. She is in trouble, but she probably
make her get like.
I understand.
Like,
you make the kid. Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
And courts move slowly and they do act indifferent. You just have to understand that about the system. They're not going to like rally with you and feel what you're feeling. They're just going to look at their criteria and make non-emotional decisions.
Well,
but they will look at the facts of what's happening.
Yeah, and a lot of times there's an evaluation made by the courts.
Yeah.
They
can assign an advocate for the child, and I think that mm-hmm. would be a good idea for you to ask your attorney for an advocate for your child. So there's somebody that's representing him and what's in his best interest and that can meet with him.
At least temporarily, I have the majority of the custody, which
okay.
I thank God for.
So how is she keeping him from you?
She left and took my son and ran away.
Okay. How is she keeping him from you then, if you have the custody?
I'm sorry?
How is she keeping him? You said, how do I keep her from keeping him from me? Well, if you have the majority of the custody, then you have him.
So this is just temporary order, and
okay.
she has them every other weekend.
Okay.
You know, and so, you know, when we were living together, I was just trying to stay away from her because I felt like if we were together, she would get angry and stuff. So if I stayed away, you know, I think she would be okay maybe, but I don't...
You're the trigger?
Not a problem, and it's just... I mean, that's all I can see.
Okay.
But I can see that even with him alone, she still has... It's going to be a problem down the line.
Well, as he gets older and pulls away from her.
With her emotions.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. A lot of times we assume that things are going to stay the same, that she's not going to get worse. And one day you go to pick him up after this, after she has her visitation, and he's not there. She's taken him. And then you're going, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
How could I have turned mm-hmm. this child over to her knowing that she was capable of anything? I need to go back to court, get an assessment done of her.
Yeah,
tell
do a
the
740
court,
evaluation.
Yeah, that you want an evaluation, that you are afraid and that you can't live up to the decision for joint custody. It was a mistake, and you fear for your son. And it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with
And she might
yourself.
Be ordered into anger management treatment as a result. And that would be a good thing for your son.
Be honest with your lawyer so he knows everything that's going on, because he can't protect you if he doesn't.
Yeah. But, you know, this is where we really need to pray for her.
It's
a
hard fight.
And it's so hard when you get to this point. Now, this is why we do the marriage intensive. So that these impossible situations, I mean, we've had people couldn't even stay in the same room. They work things out. We're doing one in February. But this is why. Because sometimes it takes extraordinary means to get somebody to see the reality of who they are and accept responsibility to do something about it. 1-800-229-3000 to join us. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and really glad that you're with us And I've got time for one other phone call here. We'll go to Debbie, Jeffersonville, Indiana, just right up the road there. And here's Debbie. Debbie, how are you, and how can we help you today?
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi there. Sure, yeah, what's going on?
Hi.
Hi there.
Well, I am trying to learn how to deal with a son who's come out as homosexual. And we
have
both.
That's tough.
My family is. Yeah, he's 20, and he came out to us when he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And he's struggling. He's really struggling with this because, like I said, we're believers, and, you know, we know what the Bible says about that. Well, he disputes everything. He says that, you know, that's just what the Bible said back then. It's not applicable to today.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, he professes Christianity, and, you know, we have talked about that, and, you know, he has been baptized, he's accepted Christ into his life, and my husband is really, really hostile against it. Every time we, you know, broach the conversation, you know, it's just like, I don't want to talk about it, you know, it's not true, it's a lie.
Yeah.
And I'm torn because I want to support my son, but I'm also a believer and I want to stick to what the Bible says. So I'm really torn on what to do. And I've read a lot of books, of course, about, you know, homosexuality and Christianity and messy grace, all that, you know. And, you know.
So the question for us is what?
How do I reconcile that with being a believer and supporting my son? Because,
well,
you know, he said this is not his choice. And he doesn't want to be this way.
Mm-hmm. You don't reconcile the two, Debbie.
You don't?
You're powerless when it comes to the homosexuality issue, but you're not powerless when it comes to loving your son. And one of the commandment that Jesus wrote for us that supersedes everything else is that we're to love one another. And somehow you got to love him in spite of his behavior, and that's not easy. And you're going to need a good support system to do that. And so you got to be willing to talk to people about it that you trust, and your husband can't be rejecting your son because that's a bigger issue than his sexuality.
And well, he's not rejecting him. He's saying it's a lie from the devil.
But look,
Go ahead.
Nothing you or your husband is going to say right now is going to change his mind given what he said to you. So what you want to do is be more to him than a sermon that's been preached 1,000 times or 100 times. You want to have a loving relationship so that he sees, wow, this faith that my parents have is real. And maybe his wasn't so real or didn't know the depths of yours. But if you keep throwing out hate and lies of the devil and stuff, which it's just going to alienate him. So you want him to experience Christ's love through you. And then if things happen, sometimes they happen, disappointment, idealization goes away, then you're there for him. And you have credibility because you have loved him through it. But, you know, if I had been talking with him at age 13, you know, I would have said, well, you have this attraction, but this attraction doesn't mean this is who you are. But in our society, if you have an attraction, it means this is you. If one day I feel more like a girl than a boy, if I'm age 10, well, then I must be transgender. No, it comes, it goes, it's fluid. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the world that he lived in. And I am so glad you called. I wish we had more to say.
People as sinners, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he has a choice in how he lives this out. He may feel this is true about him, but how is he going to live this out as a Christian? And you don't really get to decide that for him, right?
Right.
But you pray for him in that. Because I know lots of people who have same-sex attraction that choose not to live it out in, you know, reality.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you want him to accept you and what you believe to be true, just as he's wanting you to accept him. Very tough call. Those are always tough calls because we don't have magic words. We don't have instant quick fixes. It's always tough. And so we'll pray. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that that can be a blessing to you. Let's go to Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, help us here. We know we got some big challenges financially here year in. Talk to us.
Well, the biggest challenge facing us right now is we have a matching gift. It was $168,700. As of first thing this morning, we were at $138,900 left. We have almost $30,000 has been donated.
So folks are coming through.
They are.
That's so great.
But there's only 3 weeks left in the year. I just realized that. And that sounds very daunting that it's coming real quick.
Wow.
So, but we have faith in our listeners. They've come through in the past, and I'm just grateful that you all come through again and support a matching gift. Every gift you give will be doubled. What could be better than that? And, you know, I've been reflecting on the year gone by, little Steve, thinking of all these stories and testimonies that we share on radio.
Yeah,
and just
those
little phrases like, you have no idea how grateful I am. And after amazing change in my husband, years after he went to the workshop, we decided to join Club New Life. Nothing more joyful than God stopping you in your tracks and giving you what you've been seeking. Your show's played a major role in helping me gain new life. I'm a free woman in love with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, for the very first time in my life. Just those phrases, you know, multiply.
Well, and, you know, that very long letter that I got that I sent you,
goodness.
Just full of you have no idea, and it's years later, life has been impacted by New Life. And we can't do it without you. We did it all with you, and thanks to everybody that supported us. Oh, my goodness, I'm so grateful to you for always being there as our partner. But we need more partners, and it is year end, and we hope and pray that as you're seeking, where am I going to give and what am I going to support? Just know this is a ministry where we're trying to apply God's wisdom to some broken hearts and broken homes, people that are caught up in some really crummy stuff, or people that don't even know that they have a problem, and we're trying to help the other folks around them, bring them to a place of redemptive relationship and restore that relationship with God and others. That's what we do here. It's all about transformation with God's truth into redemptive relationship. So if you can help us, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anything else you want to say today, Larry?
One last thought. Making a gift online, calling us, sending a check, that's all great. It's not too late to transfer a stock to New Life. You can avoid capital gains if you've held that stock long enough, and you'll get the full write-up for the value of the stock when you give it. It's a win-win situation, easy to do. If you don't have any questions, call us. We can help with it.
Thank you, Larry. God bless you. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to do another program right now, and you can join us for that. See you next time. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.